If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 4 as we go through the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Just a little while ago before I got here, I was in the shower, and we have a big dog. And the dog never came upstairs. It always stayed downstairs. The little dog's the queen. She sleeps in the bed, and she runs the house. But the big dog doesn't come up. Well, not too long ago, the big dog, for whatever reason, because it wasn't in the beginning, started being afraid of lightning and thunder. So she'd start coming upstairs. In the middle of the night, we'd hear her footsteps out in front of our door. So this morning, as I'm getting ready, the little dog's barking her head off, going berserk. I'm like, what are you doing? So I look around the corner, and then the big dog's head comes around like this through the door to look in at me because she was afraid. Things happening in the sky. People are going to be afraid. Now, we won't be here, but it speaks about when these judgments come upon the earth that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, once again, we won't have to worry about that. We won't be here. But you need a message of hope. You see, the dog came upstairs because she was afraid, and she came to someone who she thought could give her help, take away that fear. Well, that someone is Jesus Christ, and it's the Word of God so that we know and understand what will happen, how they will happen, and in limited form, times that they will happen. We don't know when the rapture will happen, but once it does happen, everything is on a timeline. We'll realize the 7 year 77s of Daniel, that clock will start again. So there's that 7 year period. Now, we've gone over this and over this. Pastor, we've heard about this enough. Wait a minute, I don't think so. Because I want you to be sure that you know you have eternal life, and that your message for those who don't know that they're sure is hope in Christ. Hope in salvation through Christ, that what will happen to those who do not believe will not happen to those who do believe. We have not been appointed for God's wrath. There are some who are mistaken when it speaks about the trumpet judgments at the last trumpet sound, that those will be then the rapture will happen. Well, that's not what Scripture says. That's taken out of context. Those are trumpets, a judgment falls upon the earth. The fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets will be the rapture of the church, where there'll be a trumpet sound in the sky, and in a twinkling of an eye, we will be in the presence of the Lord, and we will be with Him forever. I want you to know that. Now, in Revelation 1, John is told, write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So, what he saw, Jesus explained in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So he explains what he saw. In chapters 2 and 3, he writes the things that are. These are the conditions of the church. We've gone through them in great detail. Not only a condition of a church, but the people of that church. And we went in great detail about them allowing spirit of Jezebel to come in. We saw false prophets allowed to come in. We saw persecution on the church. We saw churches that thought they were rich. He says, you are poor, wretched, naked. And the churches that thought, hey man, we're not going to make this. He says, continue on, be faithful. Said nothing bad about them. And so we look at those churches and we consider our own hearts. These churches were also through a time period of church age. The last church, the church of Laodicea. Now these churches didn't appear and disappear. Some of them continue to this very day. The style of the church, the implement of their hearts, cold, lukewarm, or hot. Speaking of the apostate church that we'll see in the end times. Well, we're witnessing that now. We see in end times now that mainline denominational churches are falling away from the faith. Well, God didn't really mean that. And right? And that's what Satan did, right? What did Satan do, right? Doubt and deny. When he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what did he say? Did God really say? He doubted. He caused them to doubt God's word. Did God really say? And deny, surely you won't die. He's doing that today. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be wise of that. And so, now in chapter 4 begins the third section, the things which shall take place after this. After what? Well, the message of Jesus to the seven churches of Asia Minor, which, as we point out, represent the seven periods of church history. So we pick it up in Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Now, it's interesting that the first voice that's spoken to John in Revelation in chapter 1 speaks to him again here, the voice of Jesus. Jesus calls John up to heaven through a door standing open in heaven with the trumpet shout. So it's a picture of the rapture, right? He speaks to him like a trumpet, speaks to him and says, come up here. So we see the rapture of the church happening at this point. Now, Pastor, that's a fetch. I don't know where you're getting that from. Stay with me. We're going to continue through. We Calvary Chapel pastors believe that when the church has completed its purpose upon the earth and has finished its witness, or as Paul describes, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, that the Lord is then going to catch away his church into heaven. And that's what it says in Thessalonians, right? Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. It's a mystery until it's revealed. So prior to this, prior to Paul speaking of the rapture of the church, we don't see it anywhere. It was a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now it's not a mystery. We are not going to all sleep, meaning die, but we all are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. So John's going up to heaven as a symbol of the raptured church. And John is called up to heaven by a voice that sounds like a trumpet, just as the church will be described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Is that his second coming? No. That is not Jesus' second coming. He's not coming to earth. He's going to be in the clouds. That is the calling up of the church. His second coming is at the end of the 7 years when we come back with him. Now, if you didn't know that, you know it now, right? Okay? So that's not his second coming. It's his calling up of the church, the bride. The Jew is not the bride of Christ. For now, the Jew has been blinded. We don't believe in replacement theology. The church has not taken the place of the Jew, but we have been grafted in. We've been adopted in to the faith. So he is the groom, he says in John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, so that when I come back, I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you will be with me always. I hope you memorize that. Because that's our hope. Picture of the Jewish wedding. He's gone to his father's house, so he will come back again. But the bride is anticipating his coming, and so they're waiting and watching and looking. And when they see the groom coming down the street, they shout and they bang things so that the bride is aware. And this is the trumpet sound that we are called up. So we believe that the church is to be raptured, and we believe that the point of the rapture in the book of Revelation is right here in chapter 4. John was taken by the Spirit unto the day of the Lord and experienced through the Spirit the rapture of the church. So write down what you saw, what he saw, Jesus holding the stars in his hand, seven lampstands. Write down what the things that are, the church, the condition of the churches, they were around at that time, but speaking in church history, and the things that will happen. And so this is where we're going today. So just to note, as we enter into this fourth chapter, we enter into the post-church era upon the earth. We will be coming back to the earth in chapter 6, but it's the post-church, after the church is raptured, when God now judges the world for its ungodliness and righteousness and for its rejection of his Son. But the church, with John here in chapter 4, have been caught up in heaven. This is amazing stuff, and I hope you're encouraged this morning. I copied this. I didn't write it. Somebody wrote this, and I've been sending it out. And it's a beautiful picture of what we do on Sunday mornings, because we think some people may think, well, it's just coming together and we're going to worship and see people we know and hear the word, and we're going to go out to lunch. Can't wait till it's over. The pastor's going on pretty long right now. It's lunchtime. This is not why we come to church. We're coming to feed upon His word. His word is food. His word is drink. And someone texted me this: hot bread from heaven, buttered down with the Holy Spirit, served up at the Lord's table. Don't forget to get a piece for yourself. We're feeding our spirit when we come to church and study the scriptures. Our spirit gets strong by how? How does our faith grow? By hearing the word of God and studying the word of God. I want to be stronger tomorrow than I am today. I want to be stronger in the next half hour than I was before. I want to grow in my faith. I want to be strong. As a tree grows, it becomes strong, and then it begins to bear fruit. We want to bear more fruit. Cusick says that Jesus is finished speaking to and dealing with the churches in Revelation 2 through 3, and all churches are comprehended in the seven churches. Now, after dealing with the church, Jesus calls John up to heaven, catching him away with a voice like a trumpet. So you see the picture? All this happens before the great wrath that will be described in Revelation 6, and the great judgment of the earth unfolds. John, as representatives of the church, is in heaven. He's looking down on earth. In verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So in the Spirit, where was his body? Well, John's body may also be in heaven. We're not sure. He doesn't really say. This is possible that it was in a vision in the Spirit it speaks about. This is John is fixated on what occupied the throne and everything else described in Revelation to this throne. The bottom line is the atheist and the materialist is that there is no throne. They don't believe that there's a God in heaven. They don't believe that God is seated in the throne. That heaven's a myth and so is hell. And that we're here can do what we want. We have free will. And here's what the communists did. To teach the young little kids that there is no God, in early days of their school, they would plant two seeds. And as the plants grew, they would water one and not water the other. And they'd say, this is communists, the one they watered, and this is God's, the one that they didn't water. And the one that they watered grew, and the one that wasn't watered died. And that's why I say there's no God. Isn't it evil, demonic corruption? In the same way, we need to feed ourselves. We need to drink of this living water, which is the Word of God, which is the truth of God. Now, prior to this rain, a couple days ago, man, the sun was beaten down. And although the sprinklers come on a timer, it's not enough in some cases, especially in some spots on the lawn. So I had the hose, and I'm watering this dead grass. And after like 10 minutes, you see it come to life. Parched and burned by the sun, given that living water, it begins to come alive. And the same thing in our spirit is as well. When we realize what is waiting for us, nothing here on earth matters. Essentially, man cannot live without the concept of a throne, a supreme ruler. So if man dethrones God, he will inescapably replace himself with someone else on the throne, and usually that's him. Stalin did that, Lenin did that, Mao, communism. We do that too, some people, those who don't believe. I will have no God over me. They would open up the Bible, in the beginning was God, and they slam it shut. I will have no God over me. And they reject everything else that's in there. It's interesting to consider that in the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament fulfilled. In the Old Testament, the Jews were to be waiting upon the Messiah. And the very day that he was to come, they should have known. Jesus says, even you should have known this day. And although they hailed him Messiah to fulfill prophecy, he wasn't the Messiah that he was. They were hailing him thinking he was going to take over Rome. But because the Jews reject him and the New Testament, they don't have revelation of his new coming. We do. Those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the New Testament is the Old Testament fulfilled. So he's coming again. Jesus says, I have come in my Father's name, and you've rejected me. There will be one who comes in his own name, and him you will receive. Guess who that is? That is the Antichrist. When does he come? After the church is raptured. Do you know who he is? No. You might think you know who he is. You might think he's sitting right next to you, but he's not. I'm just saying. We don't know who he is. He's not revealed until the church is. And there's been a lot of Antichrist type of people. Hitler certainly was, and people like him. I mean, they've been there, but they're not the Antichrist that speaks of in Revelation. Morgan says, we can't think rightly about much of anything until we settle in our mind that there is an occupied throne in heaven and that God of the Bible rules on that throne. And I don't want anybody else ruling on that throne. I don't want to rule on that throne. Remember I talked about if you got a bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot, get out of that seat. You're in the wrong seat, right? Same thing with that. God is seated on the throne, and we need him to be Lord. And what's so neat about God is that he understands us because he created us, right? He knows our frailties. He knows how, listen, how stupid we are. What, Pastor, we're stupid? Yeah, he says we're sheep. Sheep are stupid, okay? He said it. I didn't say it. I'll use that as a buffer. And he understands that we get anxious and worry. That when something happens around us or rattles our cage, we become afraid. And like my dog runs up to find refuge and comfort, we should run to him. And he says, let your hearts not be weary. Because why did he say that? Well, he had already told them he was going to die. They had given up everything to follow this man called the Christ. And now he says, hey, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go, and you can't follow me where I'm going. Could you imagine the anxiety that happens in their heart? Now, God knows we're anxious, so if you feel anxious at times, that's normal. That's the natural person. But we want to live in the supernatural, empowered by the Spirit. So when you feel that, turn to the Lord. Lord, take this away, because it's not from you. Paul says, listen, be anxious about nothing. Wow. Well, he didn't mean nothing. He meant just not everything. No, he meant nothing, right? Be anxious about nothing, but in all things, not some things, in all things, let your requests be known to God. Speak to God in prayer. And the result of that would be that the peace of Christ that would transcend all understanding would guide our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Verse 3, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. As John describes the occupant of the throne, he does not describe a distinct figure. There is here no description of a divine being so as to point out any shape or dimensions. He describes it rather and aims to point out the surrounding glory and radiance that he saw. Listen, John saw something he never saw before. What is this? Things that, as we go through this book, you're going to realize, wow, that's crazy. He couldn't express earthly thoughts on what he saw because he never saw it before. That's like trying to explain a red apple to someone who's blind and never seen before. How do you relate that to them? They've never seen red. So John's seeing some amazing things. Instead of describing a specific form or figure, John describes a glistering light in colors, like jasper may mean diamonds and red for sardis. And the throne is surrounded by a green-hued rainbow, in appearance like emerald. So the rainbow, perhaps in Genesis 9, is a reminder of God's covenant towards man, that he would never destroy the earth totally by water flood, right? Amazing sights that he sees. Around the throne, verse 4, were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. So before the elders catch John's eye, he noticed the 24 thrones they sat on. These 24 elders sit on a lesser throne around the throne. Who are these 24 elders? Who are these? Well, remember, the church has been raptured now. And so some commentators debate whether they are glorified human beings or angelic beings. They certainly seem to represent God's people. Elders represent the people of God in the Old Testament, and the 24 elders of the priesthood represents all the priests. In 1 Chronicles, and the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles represent all those of faith. So the 24 elders clothed in white remnant are representatives of the church, we believe. According to most Bible scholars, these 24 elders are representatives. The fact that they are in white robes in the church is to be clothed in white robes, the righteous faith in Christ Jesus. We've heard this before, clothed in righteousness. Verse 5, and from the... Well, let me go back. Jesus said in Laodicea, in Revelation 3, to him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I am set down on my Father's throne. And so here, 24 elders, these lesser thrones, now we see the heavenly scene sitting in white robes upon their thrones. Verse 5, and from the throne proceeding lightning, thunder, and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now again, it's important that we place in our mind the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness, because we're told that the book of Hebrews, that the tabernacle was exactly a model of this heavenly throne. If you want to know basically what the heaven is going to look like, go back to the tabernacle there in the book of Hebrews. And there's a tabernacle, we remember, when the priest came into the holy place, and he left-hand side, there was a seven candlesticks. This is the menorah that's there. And these seven golden candlesticks were now known from the book of Revelations and represent of the Holy Spirit. And they represent the Holy Spirit there before the throne of God and the sevenfold work of the complete work of the Holy Spirit. So we remember that in the Holy of Holies, this is as we're entering into the throne, there was an Ark of the Covenant that Moses made covered with golden lid, and this is the mercy seat, and upon which there was carved these golden cherubim, which their wings touching the corner of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. These were wings of an angel's. And so as we go on in reading the description here in heaven, we next come to the cherubim, the angels being created by God, who seem to be highest order of angelic beings. So this is amazing stuff. John here wasn't expecting this, right? It doesn't tell us that God said, hey, on Thursday night, I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to show you all this stuff. He doesn't say that. Scripture says that, you know, would God not tell Abraham, his servant, what he's about to do? God is showing us the things that he's going to do. And things that were mysteries, as he reveals them, become truth to us. So before the throne, verse 6 and 7, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Wow. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. He doesn't say that that's what they were. He says they were like those things. So we can't imagine what he saw. Those were the best descriptions. Now, there are those Bible scholars that see this four phase of Christ as represented in the Gospels. The first in Matthew represent Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion, of course, is known as the King of the Beast, right? The second, like a calf. Mark represents Jesus as a suffering servant. The ox is considered the top of the domesticated animals. Third, like a man. Luke represents Jesus as the Son of Man and man crowning order of God's creation. And finally, fourth, like an eagle, as John represents Jesus as the Son of the living God and the eagle being the greatest of the flying fowl. So these cherubim, these angels, were first mentioned in the book of Genesis when God drove Adam out of the garden after his sin. He put a cherubim at the gate of the garden lest man should return to the garden and eat the tree of life and live forever in a sinful state. Do you remember that? That happened in Genesis when they were kicked out God put these cherubim, these angels. The cherubim are again mentioned in the book of Ezekiel as of chapter 1 in verse 10. Ezekiel had a vision of the throne of God, which parallels the vision of John here in the book. Ezekiel saw these cherubim. Each had four faces. So on each of the faces, like an ox, a lion, and a man. So he saw the same thing. This is interesting. Old Testament is the New Testament prophesied. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Or fulfilled. Old Testament is New Testament revealed. New Testament is Old Testament fulfilled. The things that God says He's going to do, He's going to do. At the twinkling of an eye, if you're falling asleep in church, you're just going to wake up in the clouds in heaven, right? Because you missed it. A twinkling of an eye. That fast, the rapture happens and we will be with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go into much detail about the book of Ezekiel. It explains a little more. So, he saw the seraphim who came to the altar of God with a live coal and touched his lips and said, "Now you are clean," in Isaiah chapter 6. So these angels, we've seen them before. They've appeared in scriptures in the past. But we find in John's vision of them that verses 8 through 11, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So they're worshiping the Lord, giving Him praise. "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty." And they give Him the crowns that were given to them. Now, where do the crowns come from? Well, we will receive crowns. We've gone through the churches. We know that these are the rewards for the works of the saints. So this is a picture of the church in heaven. He's trying to describe these things that he saw. Spurgeon says, "Knowing angels should worship God should prompt our worship also," right? Do we have the less praise of Him or thank Him for? Do we sing as much as the birds do? You know, it's interesting that scientists say that each star and planet, now there's billions of them, right? You can't count them. Each one of them has its own frequency, its own note, if you will. So the whole universe is praising God in a song. Isn't that cool? Each star and planet has its own frequency and its own note, its own tune. That's amazing. Let me ask you this. When we consider these angels in the presence of God in heaven, do we have that heart to worship and praise God? Or is it only when we come to church? Now, you have to answer that. I don't. And I'm not saying you're sinning if you're not always praising the Lord. But if we're believers and we're waiting and anticipating on His coming because He's right at the door, we're waiting upon the Lord coming. Is my heart full of praise and worship to the Lord, or am I concerned about what Donald Trump Jr. said? Well, think about that. Because that's all that's on the news. Am I worried about the things that are happening? And I'm not saying to go in a closet and bury your head. We need to be contemporary about what's going on around us. But is my heart praising God and waiting, anticipating on His coming? Oh, He's coming. How do I know, Pastor? He said so. He came the first time. Right? It was prophesied hundreds of years before it ever happened. He came. He fulfilled it. He said He was going to leave. He's in His Father's house. And He says He's coming back. He says He's coming back. Are you excited about that? Is everybody you know coming with you? Oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, if not, get to business. Get to work. We're about our Father's business. Yes, we may be contractors and roofers and firemen and all these things, but in those fields, we are light and salt. We are to affect the people around us, to encourage them, to open up those questions of opportunity. Hey, if you died today, do you know where you're going? And if they don't, you got the answer for them, right? You know the way, the truth, and the life. It is through Christ Jesus. And so John is seeing the church in the presence of God, the thrones. He's seeing amazing cherubim and these animals, and he can't even explain them. And they're worshiping God in heaven, and they're taking their crowns. You are worthy. We're not worthy. You know, you helped the old lady cross the street. You got a crown for that. Oh, Lord, you're worthy, right? They're throwing the crowns at his feet in praise and worship him. The crowns are the Stephanos crowns, the crowns of victory, not royalty. Okay? They are the crowns of achievement that are winning athletes who would receive a crown in the Olympic ancient games. The 24 elders represent all the redeemed of God through every achievement, reward that have been they've given back to God, because they know and proclaim that only He is worthy to receive glory and honor. Only He is worthy to receive glory and honor. And it is amazing to me that the Pope would actually allow people to bow down before him and kiss his ring. I think that's an abomination. Only God is worthy. Spurgeon says, because they represent all the people of God, the worship, the crown, the robes, the heart of these 24 elders belongs to us also. There is a throne in heaven that no one can occupy. Listen to this as we close. No one can occupy but you. He said that he has a seat and a place for you. There's a reserved seat in heaven for you. And I love that. Because you've heard me say before, normally when there's a reserved seat on a chair, it's not for you, it's for somebody else. But there's a place in heaven for his children. These robes and hearts of the 24 elders belong to us. There is a throne in heaven that no one can occupy but you. And there is a crown in heaven that no one's head can wear but yours. And there is a part in the eternal song that no voice can ever compose but yours. And there is a glory to God that would be wanting if you did not come to render it. God wants to hear your praise and worship to Him. He wants you to be thankful for the things that He has done. He wants you, listen, to anticipate His coming. This isn't just a fairy tale. He says what's going to happen. Everything before that He said was going to happen, happened. Why would we doubt this is not going to happen? Are you ready today? Are you ready today if the rapture comes today? Normally during football season, they say, well, after 1 o'clock, after the first game, you know, I want to see who wins this game, right? I'm really serious this morning because, you know, most churches, and I'm not tooting anybody's horn here, but the most churches just read through the seven churches and they don't go into Revelation. But there was blessings that God proclaims to us as we study the Word, as our faith grows and is strong, so that when someone comes to you with a question, who knows what's going to happen September 23rd? There are those who say that Jupiter, who right now, if you go to that app, you'll see Jupiter is in the belly of Virgo, where normally it passes through. I've gone through this. But it's been, what they call it, gestating in there for 10 months. And in September 23rd, it will exit out. And there are those who would say that this planet X that's there is going to collide with Jupiter. And fulfillment of Revelation, or Genesis 3, where it says, I will bruise your heel and you'll bruise his head. Well, we refer that to Jesus, certainly with Satan, but they claim that there's also a symbolic heavenly symbol of that. And what would happen if two planets collide? That's never happened, Pastor. Look at the moon. There's holes all over it. When did those things happen? If these two planets collide, I'm not saying this is going to happen. Don't get me wrong. Don't say Calvary Chapel's saying the rapture is going to happen on the 23rd. I'm not saying that at all. But there are pastors who say that this collision, if it happened, the debris would be unbelievable. And Revelation says that as this tail of the dragon, which they refer as the tail of the dragon, will draw a third of the stars with him. Well, think about that constellation as all this breaks up. And it enters around the other side of the sun, they say it would take 2 to 4 years. So that's in that 3.5 window. when the judgments come upon the earth. So when he says, when he speaks about the trumpets and the seals and the bold judgments, it speaks about meteors being cast to the earth. Wow. That could happen as this comes around. And that there'll be a major comet hit the earth and the earth is split. If you've never read that, this is going to happen. We're not going to be here. But think about the possibilities of that happening. Now, this planet X, it can't be seen except through infrared. It casts no light. It's covered with a cloud of gas. That's crazy. No, they're talking about it. It's true. Go and look it up. And a lunar eclipse can take no more than 7 minutes and 29 seconds. As the moon passes the sun, because of its size, it could be no more than 7 minutes and 29 seconds. Yet, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a eclipse for 3 hours. How did that happen? Well, planet X, I think it's called Nebulae, is to believe to be 10 times the size of the Earth. So it's that much bigger. It would take that much time to pass through. Well, they're believing that this very same planet will have some type of conflict with Virgo on September 23rd. I don't know. We'll wait and see, right? Let's wait and see. We know the sign will be there because we've looked and it's true. And what happens, I don't know, but that would certainly be amazing, because if that happens, the church is going to be raptured, because there's a timeline as it comes back around in fulfillment of 3.5 years, right? I don't know. But God could come for you today. We know not the hour that he's coming, so this is why we anticipate and we wait for him. And our heart rejoices in that day, that we will be with him forever. And all the stuff that's here right now are going to be gone, burned up. But in closing this morning, the bank come up. Are you ready? Do you care? Is it on your mind? Are you telling other people? I can't tell enough people about the Revelation 12 sign in the sky. It's going to be there. I don't know what it means, and I'm not a doomsday pastor. When God's going to fulfill his will, he'll fulfill his will. But you, as a believer, a son and daughter of Christ, will not suffer the wrath of God that will come upon the earth, which we are going to get in great detail as we continue through. God willing, we'll start Revelation 5. Have your heart and your minds heaven bound. Amen?